unshakable self and worth. The self-worth reset. Before we begin, a quick practical note. Only listen somewhere you can safely relax. Not while driving, not while operating machinery, not while doing anything that needs your full attention. You're in control throughout. If you need to move, adjust, or open your eyes, do. Nothing needs forcing. This works best when you let it be easy. Business asks something unusual of people. It asks you to make things, offers, posts, programs, prices, and put them out where other people can respond or not respond. And that's manageable enough until the work starts to feel like it isn't just work. Until it starts to feel like you. You may know intellectually that a poor result is just a poor result. Most people in your position do. And yet in the moment, it can feel like something else entirely. A quiet launch can start to sound like a verdict. A declined offer can seem to say something about your ability. A piece of criticism can land as though somebody's spotted a flaw you were hoping to keep out of view. If any of that fits, it makes sense that part of you would rather not run the experiment. Waiting feels safer than finding out. Perfecting the thing feels safer than testing the thing. One more course, one more revision, one more month of getting ready. None of this is laziness, and it isn't sabotage. It's protection. If the work never faces a real test, it can never return a painful verdict. The trouble is that the verdict was never actually available. A result can only tell you about the result. And that's what this session is here to practice. So settle in. Let whatever's holding you up do its job. The chair, the floor. Feel where your hands are resting. Where your feet are. There are sounds around you, near ones, distant ones. They can carry on without you. Let your breathing do what it does. You're not conducting it. it managed perfectly well before you started paying attention, and it'll manage now. And here's something worth knowing about this particular session. Nothing needs to be proved in it. There's no standard to reach, no correct experience to have, no version of this you could fail. You could spend the next 20 minutes with your mind wandering half the time, and it would still count. Nothing here is a test. Which, if you think about it, is a rather different atmosphere from the one business usually creates. So, let your attention settle the way dust settles in a still room. Gradually, without anyone sweeping it. While you're resting here, you might catch something interesting about your own mind. A thought appears. You didn't order it. A feeling rises somewhere in your body. You didn't schedule it. An image drifts through, uninvited, and fades. And none of that requires you to conclude anything about yourself. A thought about inadequacy, if one ever shows up, is a thought. A feeling of embarrassment is a feeling. It has a temperature, a location, a brief lifespan. A business result, when one arrives, is a business result. A number, an event, information traveling back from the world. Each of these can be noticed without the extra step. The extra step is the one that says, "This is who I am." Watch how unnecessary that step is. A grey thought passes through on a grey afternoon, and you can simply observe it the way you'd observe weather. Here it is. There it goes. The sky itself was never in question. Let's make this concrete, because this is the hinge of the whole session. A post gets very little engagement. That's information about that post, that audience, that topic, that timing, or some tangle of all four. A sales call doesn't convert. That's information about one conversation, one offer, one person's priorities on one particular day. A launch underperforms. Information about a launch. Its positioning, its promise, its audience, its moment. Notice what none of those results can measure. You. Even when you genuinely made a mistake, and you will, because everyone doing real work does, the honest sentence is, I made a mistake. The dishonest sentence is, I am one. The first is accurate and useful. The second sounds humble, but it's actually a wild overclaim. It takes a small piece of evidence and builds an enormous conclusion on top of it. And here's the part people get backwards. Separating your worth from your results isn't a way of dodging responsibility. It's what makes real responsibility possible. When your identity doesn't need defending, you can look at your work with clear eyes. You can say that wasn't good enough, calmly, precisely, and get on with improving it. The person who must protect their identity can't afford that honesty. Everything feels like an attack, so everything gets defended and nothing gets better. You don't improve faster by attacking yourself. You improve faster by being allowed to look. To be clear about what this is. Treating yourself with respect is not lowering your standards. You can hold the work to a high standard and still refuse to put yourself on trial. You can look at a poor decision and call it a poor decision without letting it become shame. Standards stay high. The cruelty goes, and strangely, when the cruelty goes, the honesty usually gets sharper because there's nothing left to soften. Self-respect isn't the soft option. It's the condition that makes the hard conversations with yourself worth having. Let me tell you about someone I coached a while back. A consultant, sharp, experienced, genuinely good in a room. She decided to run a workshop. Spent weeks on it, refined the material until it gleamed. And when she opened registration, the response was thin. A handful of names where she'd expected a full house. Now watch what her mind did. It didn't say, let's look at the marketing. It went straight past all of that to the biggest question it could find. Maybe I'm not good enough at this. She came close to cancelling. The story she was telling herself felt like realism. It wasn't. It was a verdict, reached in private, with no evidence heard. Instead of cancelling, she did something braver. She rang people, some who'd signed up, some who'd seen it and scrolled past. And what she learned was almost embarrassingly ordinary. The material was fine. The topic was wanted. The title was vague, and the invitation was weak. People hadn't rejected her. They'd failed to understand what she was offering. So she renamed it, sharpened the promise, ran it again. Different response entirely. Good room. Now the satisfying ending isn't the point, though it was satisfying. The point is what the first attempt was never qualified to answer. She'd been asking a small event to rule on an enormous question. Am I good enough? And that registration page could only ever answer a much smaller one. How did this version of this offer perform under these conditions with these words on it? A small question, answerable, fixable even. The next time a result disappoints you, it's worth asking which question you're actually holding. What did this teach me is a working question. What does this say about me is a rigged one. The result was never holding that information. Let your mind wander back, if it wants to a time when something you first took personally turned out to have a far more ordinary explanation. A message that went unanswered because the person was drowning in their own week. A piece of work that landed badly because the timing was wrong, or the briefing was off, or you simply hadn't practiced it enough yet. Don't hunt for it. If a memory comes, notice how the meaning changed once the real explanation surfaced. And if nothing specific arrives, imagine it instead. Picture discovering that something you'd quietly filed under evidence against you belonged in a much smaller folder. Feel how the feeling changes when the meaning shrinks back to its true size. Now let's rehearse the moment itself, because that's what this is for. imagine you put an offer out. Properly, you say what it is, who it's for, what it costs, and the response is weaker than you hoped. Watch it honestly. 10 people see it. 2 reply, nobody buys. Feel the old machinery start up. That pull to make it mean something enormous. Don't fight the feeling, but do slow the moment down and ask a plainer question. What actually happened? 10 people saw it, 2 replied. Nobody bought. That's the complete list of facts. Everything beyond that list is interpretation, added afterwards by a mind doing an old job. And look at the size of the leap. From 10 people and one afternoon to a conclusion about your entire capability. No court would accept that evidence. No client of yours would either if they brought it to you about themselves. You'd talk them down from it, kindly and quickly. So talk yourself down the same way. Then do what a professional does with information. Look at it properly. Learn what's learnable. Maybe the offer needs sharpening. Maybe the audience was wrong, or the timing, or the ask. Adjust something real, then continue. No ritual humiliation, no week of hiding, no dramatic reinvention of the whole business at midnight. Just information handled by a grown-up, followed by the next sensible action. And notice how you feel on the other side of that scene. Perhaps a little disappointed, fully intact. One more separation and it matters. Your price and your worth are not the same number. Some people hesitate to charge properly because they're quietly trying to answer an impossible question. Am I personally worth that much? No wonder it stalls. A person can't be expressed as a day rate. question has no answer. So the price never feels right. But the price was never about you. A price answers a commercial question. What is this offer, this outcome, this expertise, this level of delivery worth in this market to the person it serves? That's a question with actual inputs. You can research it, reason about it, test it, change it. You don't need to feel personally worth £5,000 to sell a £5,000 service. You need to decide whether the offer justifies the number. That's a business judgment, and you're allowed to make it calmly, adjust it when the evidence says so, and never once put yourself on the scales. Let these next statements settle in as your own. Repeat them silently, or just let them land. My work can be evaluated without my worth being evaluated. I can look at a poor result, honestly, because it says nothing final about me. A mistake hands me something to improve. My price answers a commercial question, not a personal one. I don't need today's outcome to prove I'm allowed to be here. Someone else's success doesn't reduce my capacity for my own. I'm allowed to be learning and credible at the same time. I respect myself enough to be honest without being cruel. An unsuccessful attempt does not make me an unsuccessful person. I can try fully even when nothing is guaranteed. Useful criticism is welcome here, and the rest can pass by. My value existed before this business, and it survives any single result inside it. I recover, I adjust, and I continue. What did this teach me is the question that moves me forward. A word about comparison, because it feeds this pattern. You'll see another coach who appears further along, more established, more visible, apparently at ease with the things that cost you sleep. and the mind does something sneaky with that. It treats their highlight reel as evidence in your case. But you're comparing your full picture with their public fraction. You have access to all of your doubts and none of theirs. You know your drafts, your numbers, your quiet weeks. You know almost nothing real about theirs. That isn't a comparison. It's a story told with most of the pages missing. And the useful truth is simpler. Your job was never to become them. It's to improve the next piece of your own work. That task is small, specific, and entirely within reach. Now, let's walk forward. 3 moments from the weeks ahead. The first, you publish something and the response is quieter than you hoped. There's a dip, let it be there. Then thumb and forefinger lightly together, a slow breath out, and the thought, this is information, not identity. You look at what happened, take whatever's useful, and your evening continues undisturbed. The second, a prospect says no. Notice the exact moment where the old mind would start building the bigger meaning and watch yourself decline to build it. A no about an offer is complete in itself. It doesn't need a second story about your worth added on top. Disappointing, possibly. Defining, no, you thank them. Think clearly, continue. The third, you're about to make a bigger offer or raise a price. The number sits there, and a moment of self-questioning arrives right on schedule. Thumb and finger together, slow breath out. This is information, not identity. The price is a commercial decision, and you examine it commercially. Then you speak clearly and let the other person have their own reaction while you remain exactly who you were. 3 scenes, feeling without collapse. Feedback without the identity threat. Action without needing the outcome to prove anything. That cue deserves a proper introduction because you'll use it in real rooms. three parts, thumb and forefinger lightly touching. One slow exhale, and on the inside, the words, "This is information, not identity." Run it now, picturing a quiet launch. Touch, exhale, the phrase. Once more, this time picturing a piece of criticism arriving. Touch, exhale, this is information, not identity. It isn't magic, and it doesn't switch anything off. It's a reminder, and reminders strengthen with use. Each time you reach for it, the separation gets quicker, more automatic, until one day a result lands and the meaning stays the right size all by itself. And beneath the individual moments, something steadier is forming. The identity of a professional who doesn't need every action to return a verdict. This person works, tests, learns, improves without the background hum of a trial. They hold real standards. They can hear that wasn't good enough, agree, and get on with making it better, because the sentence cost them nothing they can't afford. Praise is welcome, but it isn't load-bearing. Criticism gets examined for usefulness, taken or left on merit, and the person delivering it doesn't need to be attacked or obeyed. You're allowed to be a human being running a business, fully trying, occasionally wrong, frequently learning. That was always the job. The only thing being retired is the verdict. And in a moment, we'll bring all of this back with you. I'll count from 1 to 5. 1, the sounds of the room returning. 2, the weight of your body, the position of your hands and feet. 3, a fuller breath, some easy movement in your fingers. 4, energy coming back, the day reassembling around you. And 5, eyes open whenever you're ready. Awake, steady, back. Take a moment before you move. Nothing's been proved today, and that was rather the point. The next time a result comes in, loud or quiet, you'll know the size of the question it can actually answer. Thumb and finger, slow breath. This is information, not identity. then look, learn, adjust, and continue. There's work of yours that deserves a real test.